Spirit is going to overshadow you, and the one who is going to be formed in you will be coming from God. She still didn't fully understand it, but she said, let it be unto me according to your word. I am the servant of the Lord. And as the years went by, she treasured the word of the Lord in her heart. She thought about it often. That is a great response to the voice of the Lord. Lord, here I am. Lord, I am your servant. I'm listening. Speak to me, and I will obey your voice, and I will listen to you, to his presence when he comes. You can't just sit there. You've got to do something. Like some people, they maybe will start to cry. Some people maybe will start to laugh. Some people maybe will shake some, or some are even overwhelmed in the presence of the Lord and feel like they can't keep standing on their feet. Sometimes people will just stand there almost like a tree, unable to move with their hands lifted up. Sometimes when the Lord comes, we maybe will clap our hands, or we'll dance before him, or we'll shout to him, or we'll stand up. Whatever it is, his presence demands a response from our lives. Smith Wigglesworth said that when he would begin to feel the presence of the Lord, even just a little bit, if he was in a room full of people or sitting at a table having a meal, and he would feel the presence of the Lord begin to move upon him, he would get up and he would go into another room and be by himself. Even if he felt it just a little bit, the presence of the Lord. If you feel just a little gust of wind, you feel even just a little bit of his fire coming, respond. I like what Bill Johnson said. He said, even if when God comes in his presence, you just take a small step forward, that's doing something to respond to the presence of the Lord. The more you respond to his voice, the more he will speak to you. The more you respond to his presence, the more he will release his presence to you. Like, imagine you were telling somebody something and they were just like totally ignoring you, like in one ear and out the other. That would be frustrating after a while. You might stop trying to speak to them. In the same way, as God sees us responding in a right way to his word, he increases his word. When he sees us responding in a right way to his presence, he increases his presence coming into our lives. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, I want to read starting in verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. When Samuel was a little boy, words from the Lord were rare. Visions were very infrequent. They were experiencing a drought, a famine concerning the word of the Lord during his times. It was very rare. It was very seldom. It was a lot of dryness regarding the word of the Lord. Samuel made his bed right next to the Ark of the Covenant. In that holy place, he lied down and made his bed there. Eli was out somewhere in another room, further away. His eyesight had begun to grow dim. He wasn't seeing as well. He was starting to go blind. As it was in the natural, so it was in the spirit also. He was losing his vision. But little Samuel made his bed right in the presence of the Lord. And that is why, from the presence of the Lord, he could hear the voice of God speaking to him. Sometimes people are like, why can't I hear God speaking to me? Why can't I hear his voice? Make your bed in the presence of the Lord. Be in his presence. Live in his presence. Come into the presence of the Lord, and he will speak to you. Like in the story of Jeremiah. It says that the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, arise. Every prophet in the Bible had an arise word where they couldn't stay in the place where they were. They had to get up and go somewhere else. Arise. and go down to the potter's house. And there I will let you hear my words. Why couldn't God speak to Jeremiah in his own house? Why did he have to go to the potter's house for the word of the Lord to be revealed to him? God wants us many times to be in a specific place for us to hear the word of the Lord, for him to reveal it to us. People sometimes are like, oh, I can hear God speaking to me just in my own home. Yeah, but he wants you to come to church also. And when we gather together in his name, two or three of us, he is there in our midst. Many times he will cause his word to be revealed to us as we come into the house of the Lord, as we come into his presence. And the Lord began to speak to him as he went into the potter's house. He saw the potter working on the wheel, forming the clay. The Lord spoke and said, just as the clay is in the potter's house, so are you in my hands, O house of Israel. God wants to form us. He wants to shape us. He wants to mold us. And when we have that moldability, that flexibility in his hand, for him to bring change to us, for him to bring transformation to us, the Lord is still speaking today in the potter's house. He is still speaking to us in that place where we lay our lives down on the wheel and we are soft before him and where he can make us into what he wants to make us into. The Lord is still speaking today in the potter's house. May we be soft clay in his hands. No stubbornness, no resistance, no rebellion, no disobedience coming from us. The Lord is still speaking today in the potter's house. This was a lesson that Samuel would carry with him for the rest of his life. When he was an older man, the Lord came to him when he was still mourning over Saul, who the Lord had rejected as king. He was sitting there in mourning, in sackcloth and ashes. And the Lord spoke to Samuel and said, arise, pick up your flask, fill it with oil. Pick up that anointing that you had put down. Pick up that fresh oil that God wants to be pouring over your life. And go to the house of Jesse. And when you get there, I will show you what it is that you're supposed to do. Why couldn't God show it to Samuel before he got to Jesse's house? Why did he have to go to Jesse's house for the word of the Lord to be revealed to him? It's because God wanted to speak to him there in that place. In the presence of the Lord, he speaks to us. God wants to reveal his word to you today in his presence, in the presence of the Lord. Make your bed in the presence of the Lord. Continuing on in 1 Samuel 3 and verse 4, it says, then the Lord called Samuel and he said, here I am, and ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call, lie down again. So he went and he lay down, and the Lord called again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call you, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Three times he hears this call of his name, Samuel, Samuel. And he responds every time, here I am. You called me. And he runs out to the place where Eli is lying, the priest, who's like a father to him. And Eli said to him, I didn't call you. Go lie down. Go again and sleep. But he kept coming back again over and over. Samuel did not yet know the Lord because the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. We know the Lord through his word. Jesus said, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have life, but it's these that speak about me. It's through his word that we come to know who he is, his character, his love, his goodness, who he is as our Father. He reveals himself to us through his word, through the word of the Lord. I think it's sad that three times Eli, the high priest, did not recognize that it was God speaking to Samuel. Maybe this man had experiences with God in past years, in times gone by, where he had heard the word of the Lord speaking to him, but he had gone away from that. It was like a distant memory, like the voice of somebody who you haven't seen for a long time. It's like, I know that voice from somewhere. It was like a fog, like a shadow to him. It took him a while to realize God is moving today. God is living and active today. And he wants us to have a now experience with him. Not living on fumes of what has happened before. Not living on just past experiences that we've had with God. But having a current experience and hearing his voice today. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Today, he wants to speak to us. Continuing on, it says in verse 8, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, go, lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. How many of you think that is a great response to the voice of the Lord? Speak, for your servant is listening. This word that Samuel says, here I am. It's actually just one word in the Hebrew language. It's the word hinech, which means here I am, or behold. It also carries like a understanding, underlying meaning of I am at your disposal. I am here to serve you. Many times when we come to God, we want to tell God, do this or do that. Instead of saying to him, do whatever you want in me. We go to God with a list of what we want him to do instead of receiving his instructions that he wants to give to us. We think that God is at our disposal some of the times, when instead it should be us who are at his disposal. Lord, do whatever you want in me. Lord, tell me whatever you want. Even with prophetic ministry, some of the times people come with preconceived notions of what they want God to speak to them about. Like, God, you need to speak to me about this or that. And God's like, I'm going to speak to you about something completely different that you weren't even expecting, to show you that it's not on your terms, it's on my terms. He is the master. He is the Lord. We are his servants. We are here at his disposal. He's not here at our disposal. This word, hinech, for here I am, we see it again and again throughout scripture. In the story of Abraham, when God speaks to Abraham and says, Abraham, Abraham, Abraham says, here I am. The Lord speaks to him and says, bring me your son. Your only son as a sacrifice. Go to Mount Moriah and climb up there on the top and bring him to me on the altar. That was a hard word to receive. And Abraham said, we're going to worship. What does worship look like? A lot like that. They climb up the mountain together alone. And Abraham takes Isaac, his only son, who he had waited for 25 years, he lays him on the altar, ties him up, takes a knife in his hand, lifts it up. And the Lord again calls and says, Abraham. And he says, here I am. Some of us maybe would have been like, I don't want to hear that again. I don't want to hear that voice again. It's too difficult. But Abraham, even when God told him some hard things, He still kept that openness, that receptivity. With knife in hand, he says, "Here I am." And the Lord says, "Lift up your eyes." And he lifted up his eyes. He saw a ram caught in the thicket. And he brings it and lays it on the altar in the place of his son. And he said, "On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided." He called that place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. The Lord our provider. He is our all sufficiency. He is all that we need. He will provide all of our needs according to His glorious riches that are in Christ Jesus. And on His mountain today, He is still providing for us. Here I am. Like in the story of Moses. Moses went to the place where the burning bush was. It was a bush that was on fire, but it was not consumed. The Lord calls to him from the bush and says, "Moses, Moses." And Moses says, "Here I am. Take off your sandals, because the place that you're standing, it's holy ground." So he took off his sandals so that the fire of the burning bush could get inside of him, so that he could absorb something of what was there. He took off his shoes in reverence, in respect, in honor. And God begins to speak to him about how he's going to send him to Pharaoh, to Egypt, to deliver his people, to bring them out of slavery. I was thinking about this. Moses, as he left the presence of the Lord then, had to put his sandals back on again. In the same way, God will put something on our feet. The preparation of the gospel of peace. He sends us forth from His presence, prepared and ready to go for Him. The fire of the burning bush, He wants to put in our hearts so that we will burn for Him. And so we can carry that fire with us everywhere that we go. The story of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. The train of His robe was filling the whole temple. He saw the angelic creatures crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." And he said, "Woe to me, because I'm a man of unclean lips. I come from a people of unclean lips." The Lord spoke to one of the angelic creatures that were there to take coal that was burning on the altar before His throne. And he brought it and touched Isaiah's lips. God wants to touch our lips with His fire. He wants to touch the way that we speak with His fire. He wants to fill our lives with the fire of His Holy Spirit. Then he heard the Lord speaking, saying, "Who can we send? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah, he's like lifting up his hand. He's like, "Here I am, send me." The Lord says, "Go." That's a picture for us, I believe, not only of how God sent Isaiah, but how God also sent Jesus Christ into the world for us to die on the cross for our sins. Who rose again victorious so that we can experience salvation in His name. There is no other name under heaven by which men may be saved. But in the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. That God the Father was asking, "Who can we send and who will go for us?" And Jesus responded. He said, "Here I am, send me." And He was sent into the world. But it's also a picture of how the Father sends each one of us. Jesus said, "Father, as you sent me, so I am sending them." If we'll just respond and say, "Lord, here I am. Send me. I will go wherever you send me. I will say whatever you tell me to say. I am your servant." Jesus in Hebrews 10 and verse 7, it says that He said, "Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God." Even Jesus, when He came, He said, "Here I am. Father, not my will, but let your will be done. Here I am. It is written about me in your scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. Here I am. The next morning when Samuel got up, he had stayed awake all night after hearing the voice of God. After the word of the Lord was revealed to him, he couldn't sleep. He gets up just like he did every morning. And he goes and he opens up the doors of the temple. Eli comes in and he says, Samuel. And Samuel says, here I am. He had had an encounter with God. He had met with God. Words from the Lord were rare. Visions were seldom in those days. It was something special that had happened. And the Lord spoke to him concerning Eli and Eli's family, how God was going to bring judgment on them and cut them off. It was also a really hard word that Samuel had received. But he wasn't like when he met Eli the next morning, you can call me Prophet Samuel now. He still had the same response. He still said, here I am. And Eli said to him, tell me everything the Lord spoke to you and don't leave out anything. That was also very hard. The Lord had said to Abraham, now I know that you will obey me no matter what. God was now testing Samuel. Would he be more loyal to the word of God, to what God was speaking to him, than he was even to those that he loved and he cared about? That was a difficult test. But Samuel shared with him, with Eli, everything that God said to him and didn't leave out anything. And I believe God then knew, I can trust this boy. I can trust him with my word. I can trust him with my presence. He will go and speak to people exactly what I am speaking. He won't leave anything out. When we're faithful with what God speaks to us, he will give us more and more. He will keep revealing his word to us. When Samuel was an old man, after he had been a prophet for many years, he was known far and wide. It says in 1 Samuel 12, this is the last time that he is addressing the whole people of Israel gathered together as one. 1 Samuel 12 and verse 2. He said, I have walked before you from my youth until this day. Here I am. Testify against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose donkey have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or from whose hand have I taken a bribe to blind my eyes with it? Testify against me, and I will restore it to you. They said, you have not defrauded us or oppressed us or taken anything from any man's hand. Samuel had already seen a man, Eli, and his family, who had gotten off track, who had gotten away from the Lord, who started to abuse the sacrifices and eat the fat, which was against the law. And even his sons would begin to sleep with some of the women who came to worship, living in immorality. He had seen how off they had gotten. And he was saying, I did not allow that to happen to me. Here I am. Everyone knew the story of when Samuel was a little boy. And when God first came to him by his presence and began to speak to him, how he said again and again, here I am. It was like the stuff of celebrity already, the stuff of legend. So he stands up and he says, here I am. You can imagine everyone in the audience like gasps, like, oh, he just said it. What he was trying to communicate to them is, I'm still that same little boy like I was then in my heart. I still have that innocence, that purity, the simplicity of faith. I still have my first love. I still have my first passion. I'm still the moving sunflower. I have not become hardened. I've not become inflexible. I have not become disobedient or resistant to what the Lord speaks to me and what the Lord leads me to do and to His presence. I still have the openness, the sensitivity, the hunger, the love, the desire. Here I am. Here I am. He stayed with that same heart. Flesh, not a heart of stone, after all those years. He also had said, I am your servant and I'm listening to you. His mother, Hannah, her name means grace. Moves of God always start with grace. She had wanted to get pregnant for many years and was not able to. She would go and pray. She was so desperate when she was praying in the temple that her mouth was moving, but no noise was coming out of it. She had run out of words. Eli thought that she was drunk. He said, go away from here. Stop drinking. She said, I'm not drunk. I'm just a woman desperate. And we can see that she prays and she says, three times, servant, servant, servant. I am the servant of the Lord. Lord, hear the cry of your servant. Lord, let me as your servant. She prayed, saying servant. So Samuel, his name means heard of God. His very name means answered prayer. God had heard her prayer and answered her prayer. And it says that she continued to pray to the Lord. She stayed in that place of prayer before the Lord. She didn't stop praying. And God wants us to learn how to stay in the place of prayer. To not give up when we are praying. Many of us maybe don't know that Samuel grew up to be a great man of prayer. He prayed once in the time of harvest when it usually did not rain, and God sent rain and thunder. Another time he prayed and there came a great earthquake and a whole army was defeated just because he prayed. These are prayers that come through the Holy Spirit. Spirit-led prayers. Prayers that can even change nations. Prayers of intercession. Prayers that stand in the gap. Samuel was just like his mama in the place of prayer. He prayed until he got answers. He knew how to continue in a place of prayer. God wants us in this time to stay in a place of prayer and intercession continually. That we would see prayers that can change a nation happening. Whatever we ask for in prayer, believing that we have already received it and it will be ours. There's a fresh stirring in the atmosphere in the place of prayer when we will come and pour out our hearts before Him. And we will see revival being released through our prayer and through our intercession. That we will birth the plans of God. We will birth the purposes of God. We will see revival coming, awakening coming through our prayers. Hannah maybe thought she was praying just for a little baby, but her prayers would shape the history of a nation and bring revival to a nation because she's continued in the place of prayer. Hannah continued in the place of prayer. Little Samuel, it says that the Lord continued to appear to him. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, Samuel grew in verse 19, and the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Shiloh means peace. And God continued to appear to him in the place of peace. And God wants to appear to you today in a place of peace, in the place of his presence. And the word of the Lord kept coming through Samuel until he was established as a prophet. The Lord caused that everything that he spoke, everything that he prophesied, it was all fulfilled. Not one of his words fell to the ground. A revival of prophetic ministry started from the time of Samuel, and it lasted to the time of Elijah and Elisha, where there were schools of prophetic ministry, sons of the prophets, these groups of prophetic people gathered together, hearing the word of the Lord. It was generations of the prophetic, because God heard the prayers of one desperate mama named Hannah. And because one little boy named Samuel took time to learn how to hear the voice of God, he took time to learn to respond well to the presence of the Lord, saying, "Here I am. I am your servant. I am listening to you. Speak because your servant is listening." God changed a nation. What will happen if we will also learn how to respond well to the voice of the Lord and to the presence of the Lord? One other thing I want to say to you is anything can happen in the presence of the Lord. Absolutely anything can happen when Jesus shows up. Like I remember earlier this year, I was scheduled to go to our other town 45 minutes away where we had planted a church there. I went with a young pastor from our church. We went together to minister that day, and we were going to be taking the Lord's Supper. There's a woman who came to church the first time that morning who had stomach cancer. I knew about her because some of the ladies from the church had been going and praying with her. I saw her standing in the back. When we called people up to take the Lord's Supper, I pointed out that woman. I said, "Can you please come up here?" And we laid hands on her together, me and the young pastor. And again, she had never been to our church before, never seen anything like that before. When we just came and prayed with her, the presence of the Lord so strongly came upon her that she fell onto the ground. And I left the young pastor there just praying with her for a while. And I went and led the people in taking the Lord's Supper. But after a while, she got up and I asked her, "How are you feeling now?" She said, "Well, I felt like heat coming and feeling my whole stomach area. And I don't feel any more pain at all." She went back to the doctor and he said, "You're cancer free." When we drove back to our other main city, we came for the church service there. I got up and shared what the Lord had done earlier that morning at the other church. And I saw my wife and another young lady both smiling really big while I was sharing that. That young lady, she usually is our praise and worship leader at that other church. She had that Sunday off to rest. And she was just sitting there smiling. My wife told me afterwards that that night at about 4 o'clock in the morning, the young lady had awoken from a dream. And in her dream, she saw somebody at that other church being healed in their stomach. So she got up and for an hour, she was interceding for that person to be healed in their stomach. And the Lord heard the prayer and the intercession that she prayed and healed that woman. The next day, on Monday evening, we usually have our weekly prayer meeting. There's a woman who came there, never been to our church before. She was from the northern part of the country. She had gone through something very traumatic. I don't even know everything that had happened. But she had fallen into a terrible depression. She had tumors growing in her neck. You could see her neck was all puffed out. She had been invited to our city by a friend of hers who comes to our church to come and stay with her. She stayed at her house for 9 days. She brought her to the prayer meeting. At the end of the prayer meeting, she came up to me and to the other young pastor from our church and said, "Will you please pray for my friend?" We said, "Sure." We laid hands on her. And again, the presence of the Lord so overshadowed her that she couldn't stay standing, just fell on the ground. And while she was lying there, her friend who had invited her felt her hands get so hot, like they were a light bulb. I even felt them. Like the fire of God just filled her hands. And we prayed together. And that the woman, while she was lying on the ground, started to be set free. She started to cough quite a bit. And she started to spit up. And we brought all these tissues with her. I left the young pastor and he kept praying over her for about half an hour. In the course of that half an hour, that woman coughed up all of those tumors into those tissues. She was scheduled to go into the hospital the next morning to have a biopsy done on her neck. When she went and met the lady doctor that she was going to, she shared the story with her. And the woman, she had x-rays from before and after. So she went around the hospital even showing other doctors what the Lord had done for that woman. The miracle that he had done for her. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I was ministering back in September in a church in Pennsylvania. There's a woman who came there also for the first time. I don't know why I keep sharing all these testimonies about people who came for the first time. But this woman had moved up from Florida not long before that. So it's her first time ever attending the church. I saw her when she walked in. She walked in with a cane, but she was very fragile. She told me afterwards that the doctors had told her she needed to get an ankle replacement, a hip replacement, and a shoulder replacement. She had chronic arthritis. She had terrible pain in her knees. And she also had chronic heart failure, or is that what you call it? Heart failure. So she couldn't even if she didn't have that pain, she wouldn't be allowed to walk that much because it could be very dangerous for her because of her heart issues. But I just called her out and the Lord began to speak to me for her. And I said, the Lord wants to release an anointing of Deborah to you. I found out afterwards, her name is Deborah. And I said, just as the Lord provided for the widow woman in the time of Elijah, he's going to provide for you. She opened her eyes really wide and she says, I'm a widow. My husband just died 3 months ago. And I started prophesying all about how God was going to provide for her. And the presence of the Lord was so strongly upon her. But I went on, was ministering to other people. She was sitting in the back and I went up to her towards the end. And I said, how are you feeling, sister? How are you doing? She said, well, to tell you the truth, I wanted to get up and try walking around without my cane. I said, well, why don't you do that? So she got up and started walking towards the front of the church. She said, actually, you know, I really would like to climb up and down the steps because I haven't been able to climb up and down steps for a long time. So she started climbing up and down the steps. Then when she got off the steps, she started to run around the church building, healed by the power of God. I got a report back from that church. They said that since that meeting, she has been walking 4 miles every single day. And she had all kinds of financial miracles happen to her. Some insurance money came through that she wasn't expecting. Miracle after miracle that the Lord has done for her. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus is the miracle worker. There is healing in the name of Jesus. There is salvation in the name of Jesus. There is deliverance in the name of Jesus. He is the miracle worker. And he wants to cause all kinds of miracles to happen in our lives. Because in the presence of the Lord, anything can happen. Moses said, Lord, if you don't send your presence with us, what is going to distinguish us from all the other peoples of the earth? It's the presence of God that makes us different. It's the presence of God that shows people that we belong to him. And we are carriers of the presence of the Lord. In the Old Testament, only priests were allowed to carry the ark. But now, today, we are a kingdom of priests. And we can all be carriers of his presence. It says that the presence of the Lord came to Samuel at first. But then it says that the Lord was with Samuel. You start out coming into His presence, but then you become a carrier of the presence of the Lord. And everywhere that you go, Jesus goes with you. He is in you. And the presence of the Lord can bring change and transformation to families, to households, to all kinds of situations and circumstances. In the presence of the Lord, anything can happen. Where Jesus is, anything can happen. There's nothing more valuable than His presence with us, than being face to face with Jesus, than coming to know Him. May we never lose that part of us that says, Lord, here I am. I'm Your servant. I'm listening to You. I'll go wherever You send me. I'll say whatever You tell me to say. That we would learn to respond well to His voice, to His presence. Lord, even before You speak to me, my answer is already yes. Yes, Lord. I say yes to You, Jesus. I say yes to Your calling. I say yes to Your will, to Your purpose for my life. I say yes to You, Jesus. And I say amen to everything that You're doing in my life. Can we stand together? Whoa. Just as we stand, let's lift our hands to the Lord and say, here I am. I'm Your servant. And I'm listening to You. Speak, Lord. Speak to me, Jesus. Lord, give me an open heart. Let me be open to You. May I never be hardened. May I never be resistant to You. May I always be flexible, moldable before You. Do whatever You want me. Just tell Him, Lord, do whatever You want in me today. I'm at Your disposal, Lord. Here I am. Here I am, Jesus. Oh, His presence is moving all through this room right now. The presence of Jesus. Jesus is here. If you have never given your life, your heart to Jesus, the Word of God tells us that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Jesus came and died on the cross for you. He died on the cross for your sins so that you could live forever with Him in heaven, completely forgiven as His son, as His daughter, to give you the hope of eternal life. And I would love to pray with you today for you to give your heart and your life to Jesus, to make Him your personal Lord and Savior. Like Thomas, when he fell down before Jesus and said, my Lord, my God, that He's not just Lord and God, but He is your Lord and your God. And you know Him in a personal way and have a personal relationship with Him. All you need to do is put your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. And His work on Calvary for you, in His death and in His resurrection. And He will forgive all of your sins, give you eternal life. The gift of salvation through faith in the name of Jesus. And I would love to pray together with you for you to give your heart to Jesus. Even right now, just say, Lord Jesus. You can say it out loud. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Give me a new beginning today. I believe in You, Jesus. You're the Son of God. You died on the cross for my sins. You rose again. And You are still alive in heaven. Be Lord in my life. Be God in my life. I will live for You. I am Yours. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And I believe if you prayed that from your heart today, even if it's the first time you ever prayed that, that Jesus came into your heart right now and He gave you salvation, eternal life, and forgiveness of all of your sins. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.